today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Tuesday, February 26, 2019. I appreciate your call, Ed, and your point, and it definitely dovetails. You know, honestly, I would say, and it sounds crazy to say it this casually and sort of cursorily, I guess, but we... You know, it really all does sort of, it's all sort of the same discussion, and one of the centerpieces of that discussion is the subject of eliminationism and eugenics, and you know, it's vital to disarm folks before you try to wage one of these big campaigns when we have a confluence of efforts going on, whether it's biotechnology. There's some big news happening. We'll probably talk about that in today's broadcast. It's not the eugenics of old. Francis Fukuyama told us in his shocking book, 2002, book, Our Post-Human Future, Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution. You know, the kinder, gentler eugenics is the biotechnology revolution. By the way, Francis Fukuyama also wrote The End of History and The Last Man. What do you suppose that means? I'm sure it's also a coincidence that we talk about Generation X, Y, and Z, right? That's just a coincidence. When has that happened before? I don't know. Maybe it's me. So... You know, there are some interesting biotech stories, the CRISPR story, and it's all, again, it's all a psyop. You know, it's all just, it happens to, you know, it just comes along at the perfect time. And what a coincidence. But, you know, the subject of eugenics and eliminationism is certainly in view. And it because it's a more sophisticated, kinder, gentler version, again, that folks like Francis Fukuyama tell us about, this is how it's going to work. People don't really realize it. Oh, well, you know, no one's... Well, we've talked about the what's going on with the vaccines. I mean, what a psyop. You know, the fact that you can... I mean, again, find me one person who says, if I wouldn't have received this shot, something bad would have happened. You can't find that person, but I can find countless multitudes of folks who have been permanently injured or killed by these, what I'm just going to call bioweapons. They're bioweapons. I mean, it's a fact that you can use the same technology as a bioweapon. That is a fact. And there have been folks who have talked about that. Again, I mentioned last week, the PNAC, the Project for a New American Century. One of the things in that scandalous Rebuilding America's Defenses document that was published conveniently shortly before 9/11 was not just a catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor, but the bioweapons quote, you know, a politically useful tool. could transform, you know, the, how was that? What was the phrase? I forget exactly. But there are folks who have talked about using the same technology, flu vaccines, and people say, well, you know, you can use, I mean, Ed and I were just talking about firearms. You can use firearms the same way. Yeah, but it's a little, it's a different discussion, I would say, you know, because no one's disputing the fact that firearms are potentially dangerous and harmful, and, you know, that obviously, you know, that is an inescapable mental concept, I would say. But, and even that's been twisted. You know, when you talk about, there is no such thing as an assault rifle. Rifles don't assault people. You know, psychological operations, terms like that. But when it comes to vaccines and immunizations, you know, there's little talk of the fact that Margaret Sanger didn't like certain people, or Jonas Salk, you know, wrote a book titled The Survival of the Wisest, and he was an ardent eugenicist. Oops, did the polio vaccine cause polio? Oh, sorry about that. But you know what? Jonas Salk is a hero, so let's just forget about actual history. And I went through the package insert, for example, last week, and talked about the myriad ways, myriad causes for concern, including the fact that even on a simple flu vaccine, the package insert says that medical personnel, properly equipped medical personnel, should be on standby. Are they doling out flu shots for free? Think about that. For free at the local grocery store or Shopko or Fred Meyer or Kmart or whatever in your area? First of all, why are they free? Second of all, are you seeing properly equipped medical staff on standby there? Is there an ambulance parked outside to rush someone to the hospital should something happen? Again, let alone the fact that more and more of the companies, the whole industry is just rife with corruption. You know, to say it's a corrupt industry is almost redundant at this point. You know, again, Bastiat comes to mind. When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men in society, over the course of time, they will create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. I remember hearing years ago folks say, you know, talking about how glamorous it is to be in the pharmaceutical industry. And we've known pretty much from day one, you know, even the pharmaceutical industry back in the 80s was saying to Congress, it's probably not a good idea that we should be advertising on national television. The industry executives themselves were saying that to Congress. Probably shouldn't do this. Bastiat also wrote in Economic Sophisms, which again seems to be the case here, you know, because you look at the 60 Minutes piece that I mentioned earlier, there are the two articles, Did the FDA Ignite the Opioid Epidemic? And The Opioid Epidemic, Who is to Blame? But there are a series of videos, series of questions that are asked, interviews, documentation, et cetera, et cetera. But in the latter, The Opioid Epidemic, Who is to Blame? There are sections, Congress and pharmaceutical lobbyists, drug distributors, the doctors and the drug manufacturers. And it's interesting, you know, it's just interesting the mental leaps that people take. There are examples of people basically being drug dealers, but, you know, it's a legalized drug, And again, you think about just how shocking it is. Alan Watt has done a good job of pointing out the provocative absurdity of the fact that, you know, with the flick of a pen, you can make one illegal and one legal. You know, the one that you can't patent, well, we should ban that one. But this one that we can patent, well, we should, you know, not that that is necessarily the discussion. I'm just saying, obviously, if you can patent it, well, the idea is you can make a bunch of money. And then, of course, we know it's harmful, even though we'll tell the public it's not. We'll commission studies that will say we didn't commission, but eventually the public will find out, yeah, we actually funded the studies to say that it's safe because we paid scientists to torture data long enough to tell the story we wanted to tell. And then yesterday's Wonder Drug will become today's class action lawsuit will become tomorrow's rebranded Wonder Drug. It's in repeat. And that's what's been happening. That's why GSK can pay billions of dollars in fines and settlements and still make obscene profits. Is there something wrong here, perhaps? When the obscene profit making is, you know, the graft and the greed and the corruption is what drives industry and legislation, which gets right back to the gun lobby nonsense, you know, and this hysterical push to disarm honest, law-abiding Americans. And it's happening in so many ways. It's been happening for decades, obviously. You know, whether it's the gun registration as a pretext for confiscation, quotes to, Eric Holder saying the same kinds of things. We need to just propagandize American people, just conduct a big psyop. To all of the strategy of tension incidents that no one thinks about. And it's interesting, you know, when Ed was saying what he was saying about no one, you know, being concerned about the inner cities, I was thinking over the weekend about how curious, speaking of the timing of these kinds of things, you know, the Me Too movement seems to have evaporated. Did we root out all of the corruption and there are no more people preying on poor innocent women? Oh no, we've moved on to the Catholic Church now and it's pedophilia and other debauchery there. It's just interesting how it just kind of the fixation on the subject in Alinskyite fashion, you know, to freeze it, as Alinsky said, one of his rules for radicals, coincidentally and conveniently. Interesting how the fixation on that subject matter has sort of evaporated into the ethos, isn't it? And at the right time, we get the next psyop that seems to coincide with some piece of behavior modification, whether it's through legislation or whatever. Which gets right back to Vance Packard's words, right? The hidden persuaders, quoting Edward Bernays. Newsworthy events involving people usually do not happen by accident. They are planned deliberately to accomplish a purpose, to influence ideas and actions. I'm not saying that somebody's lying when they come forward allegedly, you know, about alleging some kind of something that happened 20, 30 years ago. I'm not saying they're lying, but it sure is interesting, the timing on some of those things. So back to the gun issue, you know, how many people understand what the strategy of tension is and how it works and why? You have to cry out to the state, please save me, kidnapper, protect me. And we have all these lessons of history. Adams, in his letter to Hezekiah Niles, February 13, 1818, telling us to gather up the documentation. He said, remember, he said, the American Revolution was not a common event. Its effects and consequences have already been awful over a great part of the globe. And when and where are they to cease? So not an event we should be anxious to repeat, but he wrote, but what do we mean by the American Revolution? Do we mean the American War? The revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, change in their religious sentiments of their duties and obligations. When they saw these powers, the crown, renouncing all the principles of authority and bent upon the destruction of all the securities of their lives, liberties, and properties, they thought it their duty to pray for the Continental Congress and all the 13 states' congresses, etc. This radical change in the principles, opinions, sentiments, and affections of the people was the real American Revolution. And he goes on and he says, by what means this great and important alteration in the religious, moral, political, and social character of the people of 13 colonies, all distinct, unconnected, and independent of each other, was begun, pursued, and accomplished, it is surely interesting to humanity to investigate and perpetuate to posterity. And I couldn't agree more. To this end, he wrote, it is greatly to be desired that young gentlemen of letters in all states, especially the 13 original states, would undertake the laborious but certainly interesting and amusing task of searching and collecting all the records, pamphlets, newspapers, and even handbills, which in any way contributed to change the temper and views of the people and compose them into an independent nation. And just to punctuate that, he wrote, the complete accomplishment of it in so short a time and by such simple means was perhaps a singular example in the history of mankind. These are provocative statements. And he goes on in detail. Again, just a final note. This produced in 1760 and 61 an awakening and a revival of American principles and feelings with an enthusiasm which went on increasing till in 1775 it burst out in open violence, hostility, and fury. The same sort of thing, I believe, is intended or can't think of the word. Intended, for lack of a better word, for us here in America again, but it is to be, you know, guided, directed, led. And I just wonder what would happen if the American people really got a hold of history. Speaking of history, last April, Chuck Baldwin wrote a piece, The Shot Heard Round the World and the Man Who Fired It. It's an interesting piece, speaking of the gun discussion. But, you know, it all sort of goes together. I don't know about you, but I just feel like there's an effort to hem us in. You know, you look at technology and the way that it seems like the real impetus, the real reason for the interwebs, you know, the ARPANET, and to get everyone on board, seems like that's really starting to show its ugly head, rear its ugly head now. And, you know, to me it's sort of analogous to how we used to, any of us who have been around for a while, you know, you go back actually 100 years and to get people into the industrial age fully and, you know, corporate labor, expanding the plantation, as I would call it, and so forth. There were the golden handcuffs, and that went away. And, you know, we still had the customer's always right, but we certainly don't have that now. Now we have deal with it. What are you going to do about it? And technology, you know, advanced technology in the big internet companies seem to treat their staff and their customers that way. Is it just me? We'll go back to the phones when we come back. Stick around. More after this break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, it's good getting used. Oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother sitting me right down and he talking
back
to me.
Yeah, let's just go straight back to the phones. Paul in New Jersey, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Your former caller, and you were discussing Francis Fukuyama. Now, for that guy, like anybody who signed the PNEC document, statement of principles, should basically be mocked and ridiculed right off the public stage. You know, you go through the list of the signers of that document. First of all, it reads like a synagogue's attendees list, and you can see it's vastly overrepresented of Jewish people. They're only 2 to 3% of the population, but 50% of the signers on the PNAC document statement of principles. But otherwise, there's other Gentiles on there, like the great Dick Cheney. Right? And, of course, other lowlifes like Paul Wolfowitz signed it. Donald Rumsfeld is on it. Elliot Abrams is on it. He signed it. And there's Francis Fukuyama. I guess he's the token Asian.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is, anybody who signed on that, you could disregard anything else they did in their life. They really almost belong, if not in a jail cell like Dick Cheney does, they belong in a rubber room with a crazy idea. You know, back in the day, even in the year 2000 when I saw that, before 9/11, I thought it was just ridiculous nonsense anybody would even sign that. It's just the most trying to democratize the Middle East as though it's our interests or our duty as Americans to democratize. Let them listen. We should be an example for them to emulate, and let them do it on their own without a cent out of the American taxpayers' wallet.
And to make that bold claim right out of the gates, you know, in their statement of principles, which to me sounds like an oxymoron, is even more shocking. But anyway.
Yeah, just the cockamamie belief that forcing or coercing Middle Eastern countries into democracy, why should we have anything to do with it? Let them work it out.
Right.
They'll work it on
their own.
If they see how successful we're doing, they might want to emulate us. But hey, if we're going to replace, like in Europe and the United States, the indigenous population with migrants, you think that's really a model other countries are going to want to emulate? I mean, if we're going to have mandatory lessons for children on trannyism in kindergarten, you think that's something Iran is going to want to emulate? You think so?
Probably not.
You see, and so since we're so on this, and even, you know, in the news is Trump and Pompeo basically are trying to, you know, outlaw anti-homosexual laws in other nations throughout the world. Again, is that your flag you want to fly in, or is that the hill? Are you going to get everybody? What, are going to have a tenth homosexual mountain regiment to go invade these countries and force them to be nice to gay people? Is that what we're going to do?
Well, and again, you know, that historically seems to sort of lean into a eugenics and eliminationism agenda. If it's not, it conveniently supports that historically, from what I read, where, you know, if you do something like that, you essentially weaken a population in a variety of ways. So, not that I have a problem with anybody. We shouldn't be on crusades, you know, spending time and millions of dollars doing things that really are not our business.
Exactly, and they're pushing that big time, the gay agenda, Pompeo is, over there as we troublemake in Ukraine, you know.
Yep.
And so, you know, one of the things, you know, you've been talking about lately, and I kind of take umbrage with that when you called the Nazis as a death cult, because, for one, the Nazis had a very high birth rate. Way higher than current America is. They had very large families at the time. And so, they, in a sense, they were a life cult because they had such big families and such high birth rates.
I don't think I ever referred to the Nazis in general as a death cult. What I have said is that, well, I guess I'll clarify on the other side of this break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Okay, so point of clarification. I don't believe that I have ever said, you know, Nazi Germany was a death cult. I wouldn't say that, you know, and I wasn't there. What I know is what I've read and studied, and, you know, setting aside a lot of the you know, establishment talking points, even if you gravitate toward folks like David Irving, I have a great deal of respect for the work that David Irving has done, because he's one of the few people that can actually read source documentation and translate it for folks like you and I and say, well, this is what I read. And I feel like David Irving has been fairly candid in his account over the years. And so, you know, whether you gravitate that direction and support David Irving's conjecture that Hitler didn't know essentially about the extermination of the Jews, or whatever direction you gravitate, it's difficult, if not impossible, and I would say impossible, not to acknowledge that the highest levels of Nazi leadership were certainly consumed by this death cult ideology. So that's how I would put it. And,
yeah, but
you know, the worst elements of that were obviously, I mean, Edwin Black tells us the worst elements of that were imported from, you know, certain ideologues over here, cult, you know, death cult ideologues. And then that, you know, was sort of refined and, you know, into a more concentrated evil during World War II abroad, and then was re-imported back here. And again, that sort of gets back to the discussion we've had over the last couple of few weeks about, you know, getting back to Laurel Canyon and how post-World War II, you know, you have Operation Paperclip importing the 1,600 or so Nazi scientists. Soviet Union wants to prosecute. America's, you know, CIA says, actually, you know, we'll give them diplomatic immunity and a cushy job, and in a lot of cases, we'll make them media and military darlings and stuff. Anyway, that's my perspective on it. There were elements in leadership that were very much consumed by the death cult ideology.
Well, American Zionist types and Jews, you know, they're going to have their view on Nazi Germany, and they're going to hate Nazi Germany, even if the Holocaust wasn't, which I believe wasn't, what they say it is.
Yeah.
Because the whole point about Nazism was to evict Jewish power and to dethrone them, because ultimately they were a non-assimilating foreign race that emigrated to Germany over the centuries. And ultimately, because they never fully assimilated, they became suspect and enemies of the Germans. And there was a lot of, you know, cultural things working up towards the Nazis in the 1800s, a lot of writers, thinkers, books, what was called the Volkisch movement.
Which all gets back to what Hayek talks about in The Road to Serfdom. There, it's so interesting that it's difficult to boil down the discussion without it being polluted by the specious talking points that have been introduced, but I think you're doing a good job. And I think it's also important to note that everyone is sort of being groomed to play their role. You know, going back to Ed's remarks and the names that keep popping up, you know, I think of the fact that we're sending law enforcement over to Israel and bringing those folks over here to train law enforcement to treat people in a very dehumanizing sort of fashion, because they're good at it. Everyone's playing their role, and, you know, we should stop doing that. Anyway.
Well, ideally, they should stop doing it. Really, the ball's
absolutely
in the court, I would argue, of the Jewish people, and they have to come up and say, we don't want any part of that. They have to be more vocal, castigating their leadership. Listen,
again,
it's not
lots
the
of folks
ADL.
Do.
Hold up, though. Italians didn't start the ADL, all right? So you can't pin it on any other ethnic group other than Jews, and they want to take away your free speech away, Chris.
Right, which gets back to the communitarian discussion, but I would argue it's not Jews, and it's an age-old discussion, you know, and we're colliding people groups together. Again, it reminds me of Pike's letter to Mazzini. It's those people groups that are being collided together to destroy them all. And
this is the never-ending Jewish question. As I argue, they're not assimilating. Why do they still walk around with this identity? And now with the Holocaust, which, by the way, think Andersonville, all right? When you think about Holocaust, just think Andersonville, all right? And because of that, that's where they're continuing their identity. The one thing, a very important thing you got to understand about Jewish group behavior, and this is how it works in my opinion, is they generate enemies by their behavior. The enemies react and herd them back into their group as in their group identity, into their ethnocentrism. So in a sense, they create anti-Semitism to keep their group cohesive, because if there was no anti-Semitism, and that you can read in Alan Dershowitz's book, The Vanishing Jew, how he was very concerned that his son married an Irish girl, because then it's going to dissolve and weaken Jewish identity. See? So I argue that Jews provoke anti-Semitism. They actually like it, because then when the Gentiles react, they go back to ethnocentricity and group identity. And to me, bad, pathetic history. They should be smart enough not to create that history, but they keep provoking the Gentiles culturally, as they do in Hollywood, as they do with, as Ed said before, about trying to grab the guns. And this is what sparks anti-Semitism. And I argue we're fools not to be anti-Semitic.
Well,
I
respect your point. The only thing I would add is we need to define terms, because, first of all, there are Jewish groups who are vehemently in opposition. I mention all the time the Naturi Karta are probably, you know, one of the most vocal and outspoken groups that no one's ever heard of. And so just because it doesn't make the 6 o'clock news doesn't mean groups aren't outspoken. It's like the parallel conversation, or the other side of the coin, so to speak, that I have with friends, where, you know, we talk about political Zionism and political Islam, and they say, well, Chris, you know, why don't Islamic groups, like, you know, mosque leaders and stuff, why don't they come out and speak out again? And I say they do. Just because it's not making the 6 o'clock news doesn't mean they're not. And so in a similar fashion, we need to define terms here, because, and we go back to Theodore Herzl and, you know, this conspiracy to upset and remake the Middle East that's been well over 100 years in the making that people don't realize. And those people were not Jews. They would call themselves Jews in the fashion that I think Jesus is talking about in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. But they are ardent and avowed Zionists. And so, you know, when we use the term Semitism, again, in Orthodoxy, it goes back to Shem and his descendants. But the vast majority of folks who call themselves Jews identify as Ashkenazi or Sephardic. And Ashkenaz was not the descendant of Shem. He was Japheth's grandson. And Sepharad is a region mentioned in the book of Obadiah. So there's no direct correlation to the Semitic tribe, so to speak. So that's an important point of clarification, I think, just so we sort of get that out and on the table, I suppose. It's something that you never hear people talk about, and it's sort of it's arguably semantics, I guess. But not really, because that term is used to foment conflict, obviously. And so back to the issue of Zionism, you know, I think of how brilliantly Alison Weir framed the discussion, talking about Dorothy Thompson, who's one of the most influential women in America. She was second only to Eleanor Roosevelt, according to Henry Luce's Time magazine back in 1939. And by the mid-40s, because she had changed her views about Zionism, suddenly she was considered a pariah. And so she goes to Palestine in similar fashion to what Alison Weir did. Alison said that she went, she didn't go on one of these guided tours where you can have IDF forces shooting at you with, you know, dressed like Palestinians. And so, you know, Alison Weir's trip to Palestine reminds me of Dorothy Thompson. So she talks about Dorothy Thompson and how Dorothy Thompson was a powerful, influential media figure. And after her trip to Palestine, she concludes that Zionism is a recipe for perpetual war. And suddenly, history forgot her. A woman who, you know, women are running around. There are these crazy, like the women's march groups. Where are the folks talking about Dorothy Thompson? She was, you know, very influential figure through the, you know, the first half to the middle of the 20th century. But why did history forget her? Is it because she said that Zionism is a recipe for perpetual war? And I think that's, but you know, the scenario that you outlined, Paul, I think that's a model that is applied to other people groups, to, you know, these, you see it in different groups. I'm not going to mention names, but people who didn't realize they were a disenfranchised minority until some mouthpiece somewhere, some, like, you know, again, getting back to Mike Huckabee's 2008 presidential campaign speech, you have the intellectual spark setting the masses on fire, basically telling them that they're a disenfranchised minority so they can stir them up, collide them against other people groups. And, you know, again, everyone plays their role, and we need to get wise to this and step back and quit doing that. We're being drawn into these specious conflicts.
Well, I would argue there's no shame in standing up for your group, and you know, and especially since America was founded by white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, you know, they should be the ones fighting the hardest to keep their nation white, Anglo, and Saxon, and Protestant. But they didn't. And now, I think it gets better since they chose to go along with the pro-immigration views and importing all these non-white Anglo-Saxon peoples. We're going to see how it works out for them, aren't we? We're going to see if they're going to have their freedoms to say what they want. We're going to see if this diversity that's been foisted upon many disenfranchised white Anglo-Saxon people, we're going to see whether they make a heaven on earth out of this diversity that we've been promised.
It's disruptive for everybody, and that, I believe, is contrived. It's what Kelly Greenhill calls coercive engineered migration. But I think that, you know, again, conflating terms is dangerous. I like the way Dick Gregory put it when he was asked, you know, at one point, basically, who is he talking about when he says white folks, you know, and he said, if you can't, I forget what the example is, but, you know, if you can't basically call and, you know, you can't call somebody, one person, and hear what the, you know, where the stock market is at and get, you know, some kind of a bid or a call or something, then you ain't white folk. And so the point is, we conflate these people groups, and a lot of times it's the provocateurs who were created, again, in sort of COINTELPRO fashion, that are conflated with the masses that in some way maybe identify with those folks. And then the next thing you know, we all get, again, we get drawn into this specious conflict of adhesion, so to speak. And Jordan Peterson tells us the dangers of identity politics. I think the best thing we could do, you know, Hayek echoing Jeffersonian principles in the diffusion, the bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge, that we all get knowledged up. And, you know, Hayek says the same thing. That used to be the glamour of freedom, political freedom, that people could pursue their own interests freely. And now, I mean, that's a bygone concept that people don't even realize ever went away. And, you know, you listen to folks like John Adams, maybe a singular event on the stage of the history of mankind, but we're not concerned about that. I mean, shouldn't we be cultivating our own interests and encouraging each other to do that, and, you know, under the umbrella of virtue, morality, and religion? And then hopefully we can get together and learn from one another when we do that.
Well, it depends who the other is. And yeah, some of the others... some people never wanted in this territory called the United States to ever be here at all. Anyway, I'm going to go, Chris. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it, as always. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Final segment of the second hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Folks need to do their own homework, I think. And, you know, yes, defending your respective group, I suppose, but that gets dangerous. You know, the identity politics aspect of things can become toxic very quickly. And, you know, speaking of that, again, the whole idea of defense being turned on its head, our thinking has been deranged. You know, thinking of the way bullying is thought of, that the bullies are actually safeguarded and the people defending themselves are usually punished. But, you know, when I think of people defending themselves, I think of P2OG meets R2P. And so, again, you know, proactive preemptive operations group, which... who's ever heard of that? Fomenting conflict by stimulating reactions, quote unquote, as they call it. And then, of course, once you do that below the CNN line, you can invoke R2P. Oh, we have a responsibility to protect. And so there's that issue. And, you know, everyone plays their role. Few people remember. It seems it's interesting how conveniently we forget history. Israeli terrorism, for example, this nation called, you know, so-called Israel, which I don't think is the biblical counterpart. But, you know, you listen to folks like Christopher Bolin, you know, who are the real terrorists, or, you know, James Perloff. Give similar accounts. You know, Ernst Zundel was pretty educated on the subject. But you go back just a few decades, and at the creation of this nation state, you know, were in leadership were acknowledged terrorists, you know, admitted terrorists. So, does the, you know, the Orthodox Christian Church of America, so to speak, realize that? And then, you know, you incorporate with that Carl Cameron's December 2001 expose on Israeli spying, which, why does that keep getting disappeared? And him saying, I think it was in part three, they are driven, there was a report, I think an FBI report that said, some intelligence community report that said that they're driven by a strong survival instinct. So you take those sorts of forces and you realize that if it isn't intentional that people are being played against one another, then it's happening masterfully by accident, which is, to me, again, I go back to the analogy of making an apple pie. How do you make an apple pie? You ever made one by accident? You ever make a perfect apple pie by accident? Probably not. So to time events, to foment conflict, to balkanize and play people groups off against one another, to do that by accident? Highly unlikely. You know, again, Mike Rogers, there are a lot of coincidences. Highly unlikely. Third hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.